Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.
Good morning indeed. In this segment focusing on electricity safety, and we have Brian Jones, head of low income energy services unit online with us. Good morning to you, Brian, and a warm welcome.
Thank you. Good morning to you and to your listeners.
Pleasures I was having you this morning. You know, our line here, our pickup line or our company's payoff line is my radio station, your radio station, our radio station. Tell us more about your pickup line at the City of Cape Town or your servicing electricity services.
Yes, the section I work for is looking at alleviating energy poverty. And our byline is be wise, be efficient, be fire safe.
And I think that's absolutely amazing as well. It says so much just in three words that one can do. So, in short, what is the angle of the interview that we have this morning with you, especially when we speak about, you know, safety tips in and around the home as well?
In a nutshell, safety largely has got to do with this. And awareness comes firstly with education to understand what the risks are and what the advantages are, and then with that education to be aware. Many fires and many energy-related accidents can be associated with people just not paying attention. Perhaps another way to say that is being negligent, but often that's just because of a lack of knowledge about the topic.
Indeed. So do you want to share a little bit of those, safety tips and how to improve safety in and around the home?
Yes, probably the most important topic has got to do with open flames, and that comes with cooking and heating. And so one should never leave open flames unattended. And they can be unattended if one falls asleep. If it's late at night and you're tired and you're cooking, sometimes people fall asleep because they've drunk too much. And sometimes it's because children are playing near those flames. And many incidents of safety have happened because of what children have got up to.
Okay. So, indeed, what are the majority, what causes the majority of burn injuries?
Well, unfortunately for children, most burn injuries are because of boiling water, burns of kids, or otherwise open flames. But a lot of boiling water, kids pulling pots which are on the stove over towards themselves, they don't know it's hot, and unfortunately they get really badly burnt quite often.
Okay. What other interventions is the city doing to mitigate the risk of fires and enhance safety?
Well, the city, I think the biggest aspect is that the city has got this program of electrification, of providing electricity, grid electricity to people who haven't. A lot of fires are caused by alternative forms of energy like paraffin or open fires. So that's probably the biggest intervention, but others are the city's running a program regarding awareness, to do with the safety aspects of electricity, that it's dangerous to tamper with electricity, that damaged cords should be replaced, and so on. So there's an and probably the easiest thing to do is to have an education campaign. Obviously, some people will never ever get electrified, unfortunately, because of the circumstances in which they're in, where they're located. And we are looking at safer forms of alternative energy. One of the safer forms, for people can make the choice, is a solar-powered light or a battery-powered light rather than a candle, because there are many accidents which are caused by candles.
Most definitely. You know, we're looking at informal settlements, we're looking at ventilation, we're looking at these homes, people, you know, build for them sometimes only one door, sometimes not even ventilation with a window, it's one, you know, entrance and exit is the very same. And we're looking at, you know, whether when you speak about safety and fires in these informal settlements, and one often think it only happens during the summer times, but you think that, you know, there is really no season that there ain't any fires that include shack fires.
Yes, and particularly winter when it's cold. So people are, you know, using paraffin heaters to heat their spaces and so on, or just using their stoves. So often more fires are associated with winter because people are trying to keep warm.
Sure. So what in what ways can residents use to reduce the cost of electricity in their households?
Yes, it's an entirely different subject, but perhaps the most important way people can save on electricity is to switch off electrical devices when they don't need it. And then also, particularly regarding the heating of water, whether you're boiling it for drinking something or whether you're heating it up for washing, is only to heat up the right amount of water. If you heat up any more water than you need, then you're wasting electricity. And the electricity, as we know, is becoming more and more expensive.
That's so true. And I think there's some electricity high coming on coming Wednesday.
So repeat your question. Oh, yes. The tariff changes at the end of June. So it's a bit like petrol price going up. Buy your electricity now because the prices go up on the 1st of July.
Brian, let's speak about, you know, I've read the heading, Head of Low Income Energy Service Unit. So when we speak about the unit price per...
Trying to address energy poverty. Energy poverty is widespread in sub-Saharan Africa, but many different aspects. One particular aspect is accessibility. For instance, not having a good connection. Another aspect is just the cost of it. And then another important leg is health and safety. And so my section is trying to address the broad spectrum of energy poverty, which includes all of those aspects. And as I mentioned, probably the most readily doable is an education campaign regarding safe and efficient choices.
Okay. Brian, what impact does illegal connections, tampering, theft and vandalism have on the households?
Yeah, it's got a number of aspects. Obviously, one of them is that sometimes it results in exposed electrical conductors and people can get shocked, which is perhaps the biggest effect and danger. But also it results in power outages. And at night time, when you lose your street lighting, then crime increases. And it's very inconvenient for everybody. But the third factor, which people don't often realizes that having to repair that electrical infrastructure takes money, and often that takes money away from it being spent on providing new electricity supply somewhere else on the system.
Okay. There's a question. Can I pose that to you from a listener?
Yes, you're welcome.
It says the rental units has been upgraded in Hanover Park around 2009. After that, our electricity was not earthed. So when we use it, we shock and it's sparky. Other tenants have the same problem. What should they do and who should they contact there, Brian?
I would call the electricity department. The number, I'm looking it up, but perhaps you could, if I don't find it, if you could post it. But there is a number to be called. You can call the Public Emergency Center or SMS. Here's an easy way to do it, and I've used this number a few times, and it's been very effective for my own electricity supply. It's just SMS the problem to this number, 31220.
That is an SMS.
Yes, and just say that numerous people are getting shocks from their supply, and just give it the very specific location and a contact number.
Okay, so when they do SMS, they need to give a contact number, or they're going to be doing that from their cell phones in any case?
Yeah, they'll get it in case,
and
but
they will receive a reference.
The location, yeah.
Okay, will they receive a reference for the complaint as well?
They will get a reply SMS.
Yes.
I think it comes with a reference number.
Okay. So the other question then, you know, we're on a lockdown level 4 as well. Will the services still be as rapid as it was previously, or is it going to be slowing down?
Yeah, I think service in every public sphere has been slowed down. I think the electricity, I don't work for the electricity department, yes. I think they're doing a wonderful job. I think perhaps the biggest effect is just cold fronts. When the winds take down the overhead lines and so on, and flooding and so on, that it takes up a lot of time just to address the damage caused by cold fronts.
Indeed.
That's the bigger effect in response.
Brian, then finally, should residents, see this tampering happening or illegal connections, who do they contact?
Yes, they can also contact that same number I mentioned.
Sure.
And particularly through SMS is nice, so you don't have to sit on the line.
Thank you
so much. I just personally have had a great experience with that SMS. So, maybe take an hour or two for them to get back, but they always do.
Indeed. Brian, we say thank you so much for chatting to us this morning. Wealth information shared with you in such little time, but we're happy that we could speak to you.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Well, to our listeners, if you still need contact details, Brian gave you the SMS number, which is 31220. And I have quite a few numbers here that says for all services delivery, request, queries, and complaints, you can dial 107, or you can call 086-010-3089, or you can email them, and that is power@capetown.gov.za. Then there's also another SMS that is 31373, your name, the query or your problem, the location, your phone number, and no more than 160 characters. And you can click also on www.capetown.gov.za, and then you go to service requests. So these are all different options that you will be having. And for homeless people, the contact number is 080-087-2201. Land Invasion is 080-022-5669. Only if a structure has been built.
Live from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape. The Voice of the Cape.